Picking sources, yes.
Yeah, so how, I guess it seems like a lot of people will do is they'll have a worldview and then they'll pick their sources that fit the worldview. The fact that there's other, when I'm trying to understand what how our philosophy aligns, whatever it is, obviously there's going to be sources that show a lot of different things, but then to pick each specific one just seems like you're not really learning anything, you're more just fortifying what you believe. How do you pick sources? Like, at what point can you say, I just disagree with that source? Or I just don't...
I would never disagree with a source. I would just say, I don't understand it, or I don't... Or maybe it's just a different perspective because there are shivim panim l'Torah. Essentially, what I'm looking to do is simply offer a consistent, comprehensive understanding of Torah. Could there be another consistent, comprehensive understanding of Torah? Yes. Right? But the one I'm following is the teachings of the Arizal, which I think is extraordinary for a couple of reasons. He's one of the few thinkers in all of history that got everybody in Judaism to basically buy in. Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Misnagdim, Hasidim. It's like extraordinary how all across the board, you know, such diverse communities teach him in different ways. You know, the Hasidic movement takes the writings of the Arizal and explains it in a more psychological way. Whereby the world of Ramchal and Rav Kook and the Vilna Gaon translate the teachings of the Arizal in a more philosophical way. And then the Sfardim, they don't try to translate it at all. They use it as a meditative, they see it like a science. This is connected to this, this is connected to that. And it's a physics of consciousness, and you just need to know these terminology and whatever. And, you know, but so there are different approaches to it. But he is the one that really presents a consistent philosophy or a consistent structure of being, right? So that's what we're following, is that orientation. To me, the fact that it makes so much sense, it's kind of like what makes math true? It's inner consistency. You know, or as we've talked about before, what makes any theory more acceptable in the scientific world is true? It's because it accounts for the most diverse phenomena. You know, so when Einstein comes up with the unified field theory, what makes it so compelling is that he's able to explain things that that were so much at odds and take literally diverse phenomena and show that there is a unifying principle that's bringing it all together, which is so interesting that science is literally the search for God. Because science is predicated on a belief that we could actually find one principle or one power or one explanation that will include and solve everything. That's called God. If you really believe in the Big Bang, then you should basically worship randomness and never ever think that there'd be any chance to find pattern and consistency. Right? So it's all really fueled by the search for Hashem. It's just, of course, these people don't believe in God because he's this guy in the sky who belongs to a cartoon. He's a cartoon character. Right? But but if Hashem is the unified field, right? It's just another word to point to what we're pointing to in terms of Ein Sof or Echad, whatever. All right, but important question. Let's look at what we didn't do until now. So if you look at number 4 on the page, something I wanted to point out, it says, it's Midrash Rabbah, Ki holech adam il beit olamo, a person goes to their eternal home, you know, V'lo ne'amar el beit olamo, I'm sorry, beit ha'olam lo ne'amar. It doesn't say he goes to the eternal home. Good to see you. It says, ela beit olamo, to his world. What do you mean his world? Milamed shekol tzadik v'tzadik, yesh lo olam bifnei atzmo. Every tzadik has their own world. Right? Now, of course, we all know that amcha kulam tzadikim. Our sages tell us that your nation, everybody in your nation is a tzadik, which means that each and every one of us, in essence, are tzadikim. We just haven't realized it, perhaps, just yet, right? I mean, you guys, because you're Shana Bet have, but the Shana Bet Aleph haven't yet. And And what does that mean? So going back to what Rav Kook said, there is the object, so to speak, essence, what is or who is, the great is, and then our perception of the is. Right? The perception of the is what we call olam. So when it says that a person who saves a person has saved an olam, you've saved the world. Literally, you've saved the world. Because you, the way you interact with essence Hashem, right, is giving rise to a different subjective world. And again, worlds are only subjective. There is an objective reality, that's Hashem, right? And then there's our subjective perception of reality, that's our world, and how Hashem becomes manifest in our world. Is our world filled with the presence of Hashem? Or is our world not filled with the presence of Hashem? Depending on, you know, how we are relating and orienting ourselves to Hashem. But everybody has a world. Nobody is sitting in the same room right now. We are not in the same room, right? There is an essence behind this perceptual room, but you're perceiving this room in a very different way than I'm perceiving this room. And therefore, we are all in our own worlds. Okay, yeah.
Would an extension of Hashem being the only truth would be Torah SMS as well?
Yes, of course. Because as it says, and you all know this, Kutchebrichu ve'araita ve'Yisrael chadhu. Right? And so, Torah is the... But again, the Torah in the Ark is the most subjective... objective, or the most objective, subjective perception of emes. Torah is emes, right? But that's the essence Torah. The book that you're looking for, is that you're looking at, that's not Torah emes. That's Torah as it manifests in our world, according to our unique orientation. And then, you know, two people will read a pasuk, and what will be revealed to you will be differently revealed to me, because my orientation to the pasuk, right, I get a different perception and a different parish on the pasuk. You get a different parish on the pasuk. Which one's right? They're both right, right? There's one essence, the truth of the pasuk, what's behind the pasuk, and then how that truth becomes understood by you differently than how it's understood by me. Okay? So every tzaddik has their own world. And so I wanted to bring that up, just to clarify that. And so now look at number 9. So Rav Tzadok gives us kind of like a direction of how you get into the world of Atzilut, or whether you're in the world of Bria or Yetzirah. Again, what are these worlds? Subjective worlds. Right. In fact, there is no world outside of you. This room is not outside of you. The only room you know is the room you know in your subjective mind. There's no way of proving this room is outside of you. Right? But is there something outside of you? Yes, the essence behind the room, so to speak, at the root of the room, or the substance, the objective substance of the room. What substance is that which lies beneath it all? But the room is in you, right? And everywhere you go, imagine a child that's born with one of those virtual, what do they call those virtual machines on there? What?
VR goggles.
What do they call them?
VR goggles.
VR goggles. Right, so imagine you're born with virtual VR goggles. You don't know that. So you would grow up thinking that world is out there. And is it out there?
No.
So you were born with VR goggles. These are, and everybody has different VR goggles. And Yiddishkeit is claiming that the way you engineer your mind will determine the subjective world that will appear in your life through doing mitzvahs. You are orienting yourself to essence, Ein Sof, Shleimus, right? Elokus, whatever word we use, Kodesh, and that is being manifest in your mind, and you're in that world. And two people can be sitting next to each other. One's in Olam Abriya, the other one's in Olam Yetzira, the other one's in Olam Asiya, and they're sitting next to each other on the bus. But they're not in the same bus. Yeah.
Can you go over the Olamot real quick?
Can I go over them?
Just like quickly.
I'll just run through those Olamot. Okay. Just run through them. Okay, let's go. Ready? Okay. Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, Atzilut. Okay.
And it's from top to bottom.
Okay. So, you want to go to Asiya? Okay, well, see, we're pretty much there, but we're at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. You're even lower than that. Right? There's Olam HaKlipos. Right? That's like mamish. That's tough. But if you want to get to Yetzirah, it'll cost you. Right? But the first one's free. Okay? So, okay. Yeah.
So, I was reading recently, there's a religion, not really a religion, but they call it a religion called Last Thursdayism.
Really?
Last Thursday, the world was created. Everything was created last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
It's not actually religion, but like, oh, last, it's like a, more of a, it's like a
mindset.
Like a point. Like, last Thursday, and can anyone disprove me that the world was created last Thursday? In the world that we live in, how about, I could just tell you that your memory was created last Thursday also.
Everything true, was, but every, but why should I believe you?
Exactly, so there's no proof against it.
No, there's no proof against it. But how can you prove that the only world you know is the one that you know in your mind? All the colors you're seeing, all the shapes you're seeing, they're all in your mind. How can you prove that this room that you see is outside of your mind? You can't prove it.
How can you prove that it's inside of your mind?
No, but you have no reason to assume that it was outside of your mind. Why did you ever assume it was outside of your mind when everything you've been experiencing is in your mind? You've just been conditioned to think it's outside of your mind. But why did you even begin to think it was outside of your mind when everything you're seeing is happening in your mind?
Why is it more likely to be inside your mind than outside? Isn't it just as likely? Is it just
no, it's not about likely. It's what you're actually experiencing, right? What you're actually experiencing is colors that are happening in your head. You know that, right? So why do you think that white wall is outside of your head when the what you're seeing is in here, right? So am I seeing something? Yes, you are literally interacting with essence. Does the essence look this way? To you, yes, in your mind, in your subjective world. So we're not saying there's not an objective reality. I just don't want to confuse you with objective world. There is no objective world. All worlds are subjective, right? And now the worlds are advancing and becoming more objectively subjective. Your subjective perception is more objectively correct. Or tuned in, okay? But it's kind of like, you know, two radios, and they're both tuned into the same station. But one, you literally feel the band in the room, the richness of the sound is so amazing. And the other one is like, really, you feel it's a recording, you know, right? So so if we were radios, that would be one radio would be in a world where it's not a very crisp, sharp image. You know, and all things seem blurred and things might even feel, and one radio that's not tuned in, it lives in a world of noise, of horrible noise. And the radio next to him says, isn't it beautiful music? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no beautiful music. But anyways, why is this important? Because you have to take ownership of your life experience. And where this is really going with Rav Kook is to understand that everything you know about Hashem lives in you. So now Hashem is no longer some external being. Now, of course, Hashem is, you know, beyond us. Essence is beyond us. But the only Hashem I know is the Hashem I know subjectively. And therefore, practically, whatever I know about Hashem is inside of me and living in me. That's a whole different point, right? Now Hashem, I'm not in conflict with Hashem. There's this being over there and there's me and he's big and I'm small, right? All I know about Hashem is in me. And therefore, knowing about Hashem is knowing something about me. Right? So that's where it's kind of moving towards in that direction. Yeah, Josh?
You say it's up here?
No, I didn't say it's up here. You just said it's up here. Right? My head is in my mind. My mind is not in my head.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it... Because it feels like, at first I was thinking, oh, everyone is just like their body is still. But is that when you say it's up here?
It's not
that,
up here. There's no up here.
Exactly. So is that, are you talking about it's in you means it's in the self, or it's like
it's in the self. The self is a field of awareness. The word ani is connected to the word la'an. What does the word la'an mean?
To where?
To where. So an is a place. It relates to place. So ani would literally mean my space. Might be a good name for like a website or something, right? My space, right? So the self is a field of consciousness, a field of awareness, right? And in that field of awareness is the room as it appears to you and the room as it appears to me. But it's living, the room as it appears to us is living in our space called the self. Okay? And that self is that field of consciousness. Okay? See, that's why you won't have to take drugs anymore after you listen to this stuff. It's like, this is so psychedelic, this stuff. You walk out of the room and say, oh, my God, all these people are in me. It is so expansive. It is so expansive. You look at the sky and you realize all that vastness is in me. Right? Wow. That's really expanding. Right? How could you feel bad about yourself when you got so many stars inside of you? Imagine all the indigestion you have to do with all those stars inside of you. Like, oh my gosh, it's got another star.
I don't want to take tests anymore because academics is just, it's not reality.
Who says it's not reality? But first of all, it's all subjective. But again, we don't say it's all subjective in a derogatory way. There is an objective reality, which we haven't gotten to yet in the article of Rav Kook. And we are seeking to touch the objective reality. We just know we will never touch it. It will always be within our grasp, but within our reach, but beyond our grasp, right? And we will constantly reach for it. We will reach for the essence. We will reach for Shleimut. We will reach for Ein Sof. We will reach for Elokus or Kodesh, whatever word we use, right? But we will never touch it. We will only touch our touch of it, right? Right. We will feel our feelings of it, right? And so we will go on, right? But we thirst to get to the object itself, right? And that will reveal more worlds and more worlds and more worlds of subjective manifestations of the essence that we are thirsting to connect to. Yeah.
So, would you say that the only way you could say that there's objective reality is by believing in Hashem? Is without having...
No. I would go the other way around. When we say Hashem, we are referring to objective reality. That's what the word Hashem means for us. Havaya is existence. Havaya is the source of all being. The context of all being. That's what we say. So we don't want to invert it. We don't want to say, God is reality. Because now I'm going to think, oh, okay, so God, that guy floating in the sky, he's much bigger than I thought, right? No. Forget about God, right? There is an objective reality, and we are thirsting to connect to that objective reality. And that's what science is being fueled by. They are trying to get to the essence. Get to what is it? And you're not going to find out? It wasn't a what. It was a who is it? And that'll freak them out. And they're starting to be freaked out because they're starting to realize that it's all consciousness. It's not a thing. It's not a what. It's a who. Consciousness is all. It's all consciousness. Consciousness knowing consciousness. It's like it gets more trippy. Yeah.
So one thing that's sort of interesting to me is that the Rambam has a very, very different perception of God than what we would consider the Kabbalistic perception of God.
Yes, because that's how his orientation for him in his connection to Hashem was the right orientation for him.
But
as well as...
The interesting thing is that to me, when we talk about God in this way as being the objective reality, that seems to me similar to the way the Rambam talks about it. even though I would say
look, the Rav Kook says that the Rambam was mechaven to the sodas of Kabbalah through rational thinking. That's what the Rav Kook says. Right. So that he got to it on his own through rational thinking, when would come to the same conclusions as the Kabbalah.
But there were also ideas in Kabbalah that the Rambam would consider heresy.
It could be, and maybe in his time it was should be considered heresy, right? But you have to understand, people were considering him heresy as soon as he said God doesn't have a body. What are you talking about? It says everywhere in the Torah, the hand of God, the feet of God. They thought he was a heretic. But this is, again, an evolution of consciousness whereby Elokut is becoming more manifest because we're more able to orient ourselves and reveal these truths that we weren't able to before. Okay? But let's go on a little bit more. So let's look at this, because this is really amazing stuff. So Rav Tzadok teaches like this, Hayichud Gamur, absolute oneity. Kishemityaed bekono biyichud. What does it mean to be at one? Right? That's atonement, at one mint. How to really reach at one mint. Kishemityaed bekono biyichud mamash. That a person connects with his maker, right? His owner, his master, literally. Berazed de echad, in the secret of, the real secret of what echad really means. And what will happen? Va'azhu adam da'atzilu. This will be a person, you know, they talk about a Renaissance man, right? Right? So this is an atzilus man. You're an atzilus man, right? Because an atzilus man is living in a subjective world. That's called atzilut. Because shenikra ne'atzel me'ashem yibrach. He's experiencing himself. He's perceiving himself as an emanation of God, not a creation of God. Because the word creation means outside, toho kebaro. His inside is like his outside. So creation is the creation of a perception of being outside of Hashem. This person has gotten to the level where their connection to Hashem is of such that the objective reality is manifest and experienced and perceived by him as him being one with objective reality, an emanation or an extension of objective reality, velo nivra, and he's not a nivra anymore. Right? These are Atzilus people. Shehu kulo David b'Hashem yibrach, he's completely in one, he is completely bonding with Hashem. Okay? So if you're able to get to that subjective state of consciousness, you can get to that state of consciousness, because that's what this world is. It's a state of consciousness. It's a state of mind. Okay? Aval kasher ein adam makir kach, but a person who can't get to that state of mind, that state of awareness, rak kach, rak makir u'masig et Hashem yitbarach, he perceives Hashem, ve'enu mityached im Hashem, but he doesn't connect with Hashem. He doesn't get to the point where he's perceiving himself as one with Hashem. Rak shemasig hu devar bifnei etzmaom, he perceives himself as an entity unto himself. Ve'nivra, and a creature. Ve'musag hu bore, and he, ve'nivra. Ve'hamusag hu bore, Zen nikra nishmat adam shu adam de bria. So if you're a bria man, right, then you are very aware of Hashem, right? But you are still perceiving yourself as separate from Him. And you're perceiving yourself as a creature, and He therefore is a creator. And now you're in the creature-creator experience. That's your virtual reality. Those are the VR goggles that you're wearing. So now you're in the Bria world. Okay? And so then what's that? And that's called Neshama. So when you're perceiving reality, when you encounter reality from a Neshama point of view, you're tuning in on Neshama level, right? Kind of like X-ray vision. So if I had X-ray vision, I would see that this table isn't this color, isn't this shape. The table, the essence table, would be manifest and appear to me in a very different way, right? So neshama is a certain way of seeing Hashem. But, and that would be bria, right? By the way, to see Hashem and be an atzilus man, then you're seeing from the place of chaya, right? Which is there's five neshamas, or let's say five orientations of consciousness. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. Okay?
But
Atzilus
is chaya, where's
yechida? Adam kadmon. Primordial man. But that's like, you have to be Shana Gimel for that.
Rabbi, isn't that the closest thing to the Orient of that level?
You are as close as possible to being God without being God. You're not God. But you're in such a level of Ein Od Mavado Mamish. There's nothing but God. And yet, you're still not God. Okay, because I am. Okay, no. All right, V'ruchim, right? Ruchim, that's already Olam D'Tzila. So he says, V'ruchim, V'hu Adam D'Yetzira. That's an Yetzira man. Shehu Mamash Olam Kamo Zeh D'Briya. It's a world. But again, all these worlds are subjective. Because where are all these worlds? Right? He says it at the end. V'nimtza Ba'adam Heim Kol Olamos. All these worlds are inside of you. Because they're your subjective perceptions of an objective reality that is outside of you. Right? But for all intents and purposes, it's about what you're perceiving anyway. So he says, Ruchin hu adam d'tzir shu mamash olam kamo ze debriya, rak behit kashmut veheraot lifnifrad mo. Things are more migusham. Things are now becoming perceived as more material. Right, and more separated out. Okay, so now you're in a subjective, you're in a world that appears to be more disconnected and more physical, right? More concrete, materialistic. V'gam sham adam margisha kol mi Hashem. But if he's a Yetzira man, he still knows that it all comes from Hashem, right? The Atzilus man doesn't think anything comes from Hashem. He knows that it's all just Hashem, different manifestations of Hashem, right? The Bria man says, "Okay, it comes from Hashem. It's created by Hashem, but he still feels somewhat of a connection. There's a Bria Bore connection going on, right? But here, the man of Yetzira, who's looking through the eyes, his orientation is Ruach, so he." Is in a world of Yetzira, and so he knows that things come from Hashem, meet Yachedbo, and they're connected to him. V'nim Shachmin, they know that it comes from him, but it's not the Bria and Atzilus man. V'nafshin, but people that are seeing through the eyes and the orientation of their consciousness is Nefesh. Hu Adam D'Atzia. These are one of these Asiya kind of people. Right, they go to the yeshivas. Shebepulat aguf hagashmi hu yodea umakir gam kain shakol miyashem. He knows he's very much connected to his body, and he knows obviously I couldn't do all this on my own. Obviously, my body must be plugged into something higher, right? Vagam kain shakol miyashem yozel misad a nefesh. That's people that are looking things through the eyes of nefesh. V'nimsa ba'adam heim. Kol olamos, atzilus, bria, yetzira, asiya. So, going into altered states of consciousness. And this is what I mentioned. You know, people, there is experiments that are showing that some of these drugs that were described as psychedelic are not psychedelic. But rather our brain is generating a chemical that is filtering out the emis, right? And is only letting us perceive a very small part of the emes, and then what happens is this person opens up this door of perception and gets a new orientation. So why shouldn't a person do it? Because you're not ready, and you're just burning your brain, and you're destroying yourself because you're trying to get to the top of the Empire Building, climbing the wall from outside. You're not ready for this, so you're destroying yourself. And part of the problem with people that have these drug experiences is they can't come back. They can't live on in the perception that they're in because they pop themselves into a perception of reality that they're not able to live with. They're not ethically oriented to. And then they come back to their normative state of mind and it destroys them. Right? So they take another pill, do another shot, because they try to get back there. But you don't belong there. You're in a world you don't belong to. And that's destroying you. Okay? That's destroying you. Yeah.
So the one who lives in Asiya, who's in the Olam Asiya, I'm a little confused because obviously there is a separation between Guf and Neshama. So like in what way?
Why is that obvious?
I mean,
that's only Asiya people.
No,
right? I mean, the Asiya man. Right? He feels, there's my body, here it is. Of course, it can't survive on its own. Take your pulse. Clearly, I'm not beating my heart here, so I must be getting, you know, I have some connection, but it's not the same thing, because I still feel that I end here and then there's an empty space, right? But if you had the consciousness, it's like, if I were to draw a circle on the board, right, and ask you, what is that? Most people will say, it's a coin, it's a ball, right? Very few people say it's a hole. Right? Most people will not say it's a hole. Because they feel that the borders are cutting it off from what's outside of it. And this is its identity. Rather than it's part of a greater thing, and it's a hole, which is part of a greater whole, right? It just lost its W, right? Most people, when you draw a circle on the board, most people say, what does that say? What do you see there? Just to let your imagination just flow. What do you see? Very few people say, I see a hole. Because that's our thinking, right? So your whole gestalt way of thinking, the way you're putting together the data of raw, objective truth entering your brain, your senses are picking it up, and your brain is organizing it, and there it is. The world you're in is really in you, right? And the way you are orienting yourself is determining that. Okay.
I understand you mean that hole. Why wouldn't people see a hole?
Because their brain is, they're Atsilas people. Stay away from them. I'm sorry, they're Asiya people. Just don't talk to them.
Why is a hole different than the coin?
Because when you look at it and allow imagination, right? People will say coin, they will say ball, because their minds have an orientation that the border is cutting this thing off and holding it together, and it's cut off from the rest of the board, right? That's a mindset. A person just says that's a hole, that means that in their mind they see hole, and they see something that was cut out of the hole, right? Most people don't see it that way. Right, so that just goes to show that the world you're seeing is the way you're looking at it. What you see is the way you look. Right, and Torah is teaching you how to see reality more and more as it truly is. And so the more you orient yourself to Einod Milvado, the more you begin to literally live in these worlds or these which actually live in you. Right. And you're getting these new virtual. So you got the VOG, the virtual reality goggles of Asiya, and then you got the virtual reality of Yetzirah, and these are states of mind. Okay, what time is it supposed to be in the next class? I see people kind of looking in the window.
Like 4 minutes.
Okay, so we got 4 minutes. So let's do a little bit more. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Two questions actually. First, are these levels of consciousness attainable by anyone? And two is, if they are attained, which I think Shem Tzedekim are able to attain these levels of consciousness, is it something that you tap into, or you break the level of Asiya and you're constantly in the level of Yetzirah or Briya or Tzivos? Is it like a Mochan the Godless thing that it's a sometimes? You're in this level?
Okay, I don't know if anybody can get to it. I don't know, but it takes a huge amount of work, of reorienting yourself and working on your midos. If a person truly, truly, truly believed Einod Milvado, could they ever lose their temper? Would they ever not be happy? Right? Right? It says, Anochi Yismach Bahashem. I rejoice in Hashem. If I were really of the awareness that I am in Hashem, then I'd only be in a state of happiness. Right? So why am I not having that awareness? Because something, my brain, I have not yet orchestrated and engineered my life to allow that truth to become manifest in my subjective perception. And Torah and mitzvahs are meant to do that. This is a very big jump from what we were taught in school. In school, mitzvahs are, you know, good boy points. You sell, you know, Boy Scout cookies. You collect a bunch of points, and then you cash them in, and you get a squirt gun, right? This is a whole science. Yiddishkeit is claiming to be a science of consciousness, whereby through the way you talk and the way you think and the way you act, you're literally engineering your perception of reality in a way that will take you to new worlds of consciousness, new subjective worlds of consciousness that are more and more reflective of the emes as it truly is. But you will never get to the emes as it truly is, and thank God for that, because then the journey will never end and you'll always have something to look forward to. Yeah.
So someone, I can imagine someone saying that they could buy into what that we do things in our life to orient our perception to adjust it to be more objective as much as we can. But what would stop someone from saying, oh, I that's true, but that system for making myself more objective isn't mitzvah, it's some other thing.
Okay, well, so the question is, where did the system come from? And how well has it worked? That's a whole different other story. Right? But at least give people an opportunity to understand the Torah is not this, oh, it's all symbolic. And when you put tzitzitzits, it reminds you of your connection to Hashem. Well, so then why do I have to have them this knotted and these colors and, you know, like, well, what, you know, if it's symbolic, I have to spend $500 on tefillin for a parchment that I'm not even going to see that's being sewed inside? It's clearly saying there's clearly some kind of physics of consciousness going on over here. But we've been taught that tefillin symbolizes this and Shabbos symbolizes that. And so we think it's a symbolic religion. And for symbolism, you know, how much could the rules matter? You know, symbolically, what is the meaning of making tea with a klish lishi? Nothing, right? You go try and give a philosophical understanding of that. It's just some kind of science. I don't understand how it works, but it is a science. Just like I don't understand how, I mean, maybe people do, but I don't understand when I turn on a switch, the light goes on. You know, some people want to understand how that works, you know? But the truth is, even though I don't know how it works, when I do it, it still works, right? Without Kavana, it works, right? So in this case, the turning the switch on of consciousness needs some element of Kavana, right? That you at least want in some way to do Ratzon Hashem, something. That must be there in the recipe of engineering yourself to orient yourself to meeting Hashem, meeting essence, meeting the that which is, right? Or who is, in the most direct way that allows for you the most reflective, subjective world. Yeah.
So just about that question, you say that the measure of...
No, I think we have to go ahead quickly, yeah.
Right, is how successful it is. But we also say it's almost impossible to get to that level. Let's see. So maybe how do we know that it's not that...
Yeah, but who says, hey, life is long, right? You know, you'll come back after the army, right? Who says it's not when you leave this world and it's like a long journey? That's why I wanted to do this next piece, which I encourage you to do on your own. And maybe we'll look at a little bit of it, because I don't want to spend a whole class on it. But this is one of the Talmidim of the Arizal, the Emek HaMelech. And he shows that Hashem is going to get us there, right? Everybody has Chelek Le'olam Haba. It's there. Olam Haba, which is again a subjective world, it's an Olam. You're getting there. You have a chelik la'olam haba. How long is it going to take you to get there? What is it going to take to get you? But Hashem is going to get you there, right? And so that's what he says in this piece. It's a very important piece to look at. Shkoyach.